Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You need to ask that question because that's funny.
Nope, I'm going to get the answer right here. Hello and welcome, everybody, to the first ever Diddy Takeover of the Rob Brown Show here on ESPN Upstate. Me and Lonzo already having a great time, as we always do when we're in here. Lonzo, the living legend, producer of all producers here at the Odyssey Incorporated building in Greenville, South Carolina, joins me on the program today. As always, throughout the show, we want to hear from you all, and we want your opinions on everything we talk about. 844-477-3776 is the number to call. That is 844-ESGSP. ESPN, 844-GSP-ESPN. Got to get that practice back in there. You can also text us at 71307, starting that message with ESPN so that we know you are talking to us. Before we go any further into all the things we need to talk about, Shane Beamer at SEC Media Days, NBA Finals Game 6. Well, there's something else going on a little closer to home that we have to talk about as well. Clemson University, the Clemson Football Media Day going on today. Our very own Rob Brown live in Clemson for this before his live two-day event up in Charlotte. ACC Media Days starting tomorrow. The ACC Football Kickoff Super Show is something you can hear right here on ESPN Upstate. It's from ACC Media Days. It's tomorrow 12 to 7, Thursday 12 to 3. Rob Brown, Mark Ryan, all things ACC and Clemson football, and it's brought to you, by Ingles, proud supporter of college football. Rob, welcome to your first ever Diddy Takeover on your show. What's going on out in Clemson? How's the vibe in Tigertown?
Oh, dude, it's Clemson, man. What a beautiful campus. This is the first time I've gotten to get a tour of the facilities, and they walked us all the way through the entire complex. It's everything you've expected, right? I mean, every year Clemson is ranked either at or very towards the top of best facilities in the country, and got to find out firsthand why today, man. It's absolutely beautiful. And before we go any further, I'd like to go ahead and go on the record and say that I defeated Mark Ryan at every contest that we did in the Media Olympics today. Yes. I want to make sure of everything we talk about. That is point number one.
All right. I got to jump in here. And did you defeat other? Because beating Mark Ryan, that's really not that big of a deal.
We did see on Twitter last night Matt Connelly bragging about his past medals. Did you beat Matt Connelly?
No. Here's what happened. They divided us up into four teams, and they put Mark and I on the same team. Okay. And I have to tell you guys, it's going to be a long week because my back hurts from carrying this damn team all day long. I did set the record for most points in the media in the Papa Shot competition with 67. I was second amongst the media in cornhole throwing with 17 points scored. And the only thing that I really struggled at was I was like fifth or sixth distance from the hole on the golf simulator. Bowling, they made us bowl as a team, Lonzo, which meant that Mark Ryan got the same amount of throws as me, which is a great strategy to lose. So our team actually tied and then lost the tiebreaker for most media points. I had more points than any other media member, but my team let me down, Diddy. My team let me down.
Hey, I want to jump in and apologize. If I were there for the bowling, you know, man, we would have dominated.
Oh, I have no doubt. I think we each basically threw four frames, and I think I ended up with three strikes and 1-9 with a miss spare, and everything else was just not ideal. So
wait.
It was close. I gave it all I had.
This bowling alley is in the facility?
Yeah.
It's in the facility?
It is. And not only is it in the facility, Lonzo, and I mean this, it is the nicest lane I have ever thrown a ball on. And it pains me to say that. It is the nicest lane I've ever thrown on. The golf simulator is like absolute top flight. I'm literally standing right now. I'm walking around on their outdoor basketball court, which is nicer than most rec courts I've played on. And their outdoor basketball court is right next to their mini golf complex, all 18 or was it? I think 12 holes of it, six in, six out, which is very nice as well. I mean, it's again, it's an incredible facility. And the number one point I'd like to make about it is that I beat every other media member here, but my team let me down. I feel like Devin Booker right now. I can go put up 47 and 10 assists, but it doesn't matter because Chris Paul keeps falling apart on me.
All right, I got one more question, and I'm going to bow out. What pound ball did Mark Ryan throw? Was it eight?
Oh, no.
Was it an 8-pound ball?
I believe he was using either an 8 or a 10-pound ball. I'm not 100% sure. I will tell you that the way Mark throws the bowling ball, he'd better call himself a finesse bowler, all right? Because if that was his power game, we're gonna have to have a conversation on the air tomorrow.
What I think this is really leading into is a potential future ESPN Upstate Olympics where we can actually have you win something because you won't be dragged down by Mark Ryan.
Yeah, no, I got to tell you, it's hilarious because, as a matter of fact, Mark and I were just sitting here talking. So our team tied, no thanks to everybody else. Again, I was the Jordan, and I had like a team full of Tony Kukoc's, but like old when his ankles gave out on him, Tony Kukoc's, you know? So I've already told Mark Ryan that next year I'm coming for the gold, but next year I'm going to tell them to split up the ESPN Upstate crew so I got a chance. I'm tired of being the all-star and I may very well take my talents to another team next year if that's what it takes. Because when we got done, Dabo Swinney personally went and it awarded a medal to each person on the team and like took pictures with him. And this is not a joke. It's going to sound like I'm kidding. I'm not. I was sitting in the back of the room seething as this other team was getting their medals and pictures with Dabo, because I wouldn't have taken this medal off for a week. I would have worn it to ACC Media Days for the next 2 days. I'd have worn it on the live stream the next 2 days. So I'm telling you, Media Days has been great. We got a one-on-one interview with Tony Elliott coming up. We got an interview with CJ Spiller. We're going to have bits and pieces for you on the show the next couple of days. We talked to them about offense, defense. And the only thing that matters to me is the fact that I didn't get a damn medal, Diddy. It's unbelievable. I'm furious right now.
I could see how that would hang a little bit of a darker cloud on the day. But at least football's back, right? Talking season is officially started with today, tomorrow, and the rest of this week with Media Days and everything. Dabo, I guess, talking here in just a few minutes for you guys. So kind of what do you expect from the rest of today before we check back in with you to find out what you did do for the rest of the day in the next couple hours?
Well, so Dabo will be the wrap up. We're going to have about probably 10-15 minute talk from him. He'll talk to us about how the off season's gone, what it's been like getting back in the facility. As a matter of fact, I'm standing here talking to you guys on the basketball court, and I'm looking in at the rehab facility where the players, they're coming off the practice field, and I'm looking at them climbing into the massage chairs and the cryotherapy units and all that. So I'm sure he's going to tell us a little bit about what it's been like to get back on the field as opposed to doing everything over Zoom. Tony Elliott, CJ Spiller both told us a lot about that as well. And then after that, we'll probably do a 20-25 minute question and answer with him. So we'll get a little bit better idea of kind of what Dabo thinks the offseason has been like so far, maybe a couple of recruiting updates on some of the big names that, you know, Clemson had a whale of a weekend, grabbing a couple of DB recruits at a spot they really needed. We'll find out about those guys and when they're going to be getting here and getting into the fold. So, you know, we probably got another 45 minutes or so with Dabo Swinney before we turn it over, and we will have highlights of that interview for you guys during our 7-hour super show tomorrow.
Awesome. Sounds great, man. We'll enjoy the rest of Media Day. We'll check back in with you throughout the show, and make sure you get some good questions in there. Don't let Mark bully you out of the questions.
Listen, the only thing Mark is going to bully, for the sake of clarity, I do want to make it known, he did beat me at ping pong. However, that was after I put every ounce of energy I had into carrying this team. Ping pong wasn't on the competitive list.
Yeah.
So he decided to show up when it didn't matter, and I need that known to the audience.
Well, especially since that will be the only sport that he talks about on
his
show.
He'll bring that up all show.
Correct. Correct. So be prepared. Be prepared this afternoon for Offsides to be a 4-hour show about how Mark beat me at ping pong. But do not let him get away from the fact that I carried him and everything else.
We'll make sure to let Diesel know the truth of what happened today out at Clemson.
Good man, good man. I'll check back in with you guys a little while later after we hear from Dabo speak.
Sounds good. Again, that's Rob Brown, obviously, the host of this here program out at Clemson Media Day. And for the next 2 days, starting tomorrow, he will be at ACC Media Days, as well as Mark Ryan, the ACC Football Kickoff Super Show, 12 to 7 tomorrow, 12 to 3 on Thursday, brought to you by Ingles, a proud supporter of college sports. Before we move on, we do have what we do every time on the Diddy Takeover, Twitter polls. I like to do the Twitter polls, get the pulse of the ESPN Upstate listener out there and what you guys are thinking about the big topics we're going to touch on today. Obviously, as we touched on before going to Rob and talking about Clemson, so much going on right now. SEC Media Day, Shane Beamer took the stage yesterday, got, you know, some players out there, Nick Muse and others, for the rest of the week. Obviously, Clemson today at home, and then 2 days at the ACC Media Days starting tomorrow, plus NBA Finals, baseball, Braves, everything else still going on that we need to talk about. So the polls will kind of give you that overarching of what we're going to get to today so you guys can tell us your thoughts. Twitter poll number one, and Lonzo, you can feel free to answer these now or save your answers for mysterious reasons for later in the show. But Twitter poll one, how will the NBA Finals end? Will it be the Bucks end it tonight, Bucks in six? Will the Bucks win Game 7 and win it in 7, or will the Suns win in Game 7? Just trying to test that pulse because a couple weeks ago I filled in on Offsides and it seemed like everybody was adamant, convinced, sure as all get out that the Suns were just going to dominate this thing and win in at least 5 games. But well, here we sit, 3-2, Bucks in the lead in Game 6.
The momentum is on the side of the Bucks right now. And I have previously said I wanted the Suns to win and have picked the Suns to win. I can't do it now, though.
It's tough.
I'm worried it's over tonight.
It's tough with them, especially having the game going back to Milwaukee.
Well, we talked about this on the show yesterday. The Suns don't have that killer instinct.
Yeah.
When you go up like they did in the first quarter of the last game and were completely dominated, then they let Milwaukee back in, I just don't think they have that killer instinct, and I'm not sure that they can come back from that. I think it's probably over.
And on that Diddy takeover of Offsides a couple weeks ago, I said Bucks in 7, and it was more of a selfish pick because I just wanted to see this thing go 7. So I'm still going to hope for Bucks in 7 so that we can get another game because, to be honest, this has been one of the most entertaining finals that I have seen in quite some time in the NBA. Yeah, I have enjoyed every bit of it.
It's been really good basketball. It absolutely has.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's went fairly close down to the wire.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a few of the games. So, yeah, I mean, it's entertaining. I'm just worried about momentum.
Yeah, momentum. Momentum's a big thing in sports. The last three polls, real quick. Twitter poll number two, what gets the biggest pop in pro sports? Pop is what a wrestling term for the big crowd eruption when a big name comes out. John Cena on Sunday night at Money in the Bank returns to the WWE. His music hits. There's a pop from the crowd. So in sports, mainly pro sports, what's the biggest pop? Your options are home run, a goal in either hockey or soccer. Both are almost equally electrifying when they happen. A touchdown or an alley-oop. But you can also reply with write-in options, which we did have a few of those already. So we'll get into that as the show goes on. Twitter poll number three, Shane Beamer making his first appearance at SEC Media Days in his first year as head ball coach down at South Carolina. So we ask, what is Shane Beamer's ceiling at South Carolina? Your options, a yearly 8-10 win seasons, SEC championships, a natty and a statue, or Muschampish, a really bad tenure. All of us are hoping that that is nowhere near possible. Really, really hoping for that one. So that poll's there on Twitter at ESPN Upstate for you to vote on. And we added a fourth one, your bonus Twitter poll for the day. Who is the most important quarterback in Clemson history? And obviously I had some, you know, recency bias here on the three options, but the other option has gotten some older players written in for it already. So you have that opportunity to vote for somebody who's not on the poll. Right now the three options are Taj Boyd, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and then you can write in your other. We've gotten a couple for Woody Dantzler already. We've got Homer Jordan from Trevor out there saying he put Clemson on the college football map in 1981. Without him, the other guys are playing somewhere else. Not a bad point. So vote on those over on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. You can call in and give us your answers as well throughout the show. But we're going to move into baseball because I love talking baseball. And there's a lot of important things going on with the team we all love, the Atlanta Braves. They've begun the second half of the season, but without their biggest star. I still, though, believe they can be National League East champs. We'll see if Eric Cole of Talking Chop agrees with me next on the Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just before the All-Star break, your Atlanta Braves suffered probably the worst imaginable scenario when Ronald Acuña Jr. suffered that knee injury, lost for the season. But does that mean the 2021 season is over? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. A lot to talk about with the Braves. I guess before we start looking at the trade deadline coming up in not very long, just 2 weeks away, we kind of got to look back 2 weekends and revisit the Acuña injury. Just how important was Acuña to...
Well, I mean, you only need to look at the games that Acuña was playing in. When games was, you know, he would go 0-for-4, it just looked like the offense was lifeless. He's in all-league baseball. He was having a season where it looked like he was going to, maybe if he wasn't exactly the front runner for the NL MVP, he was in that conversation of the top two or three for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's really disappointing because now that you don't have the energy at the top of your lineup, you get him getting on base, you know, just doing basically everything at the plate that you asked for, you know, playing really good defense. And considering the outfield depth that they've been having issues with Ozuna being out, with other guys either underperforming or being hurt, it was a big blow to be sure. And frankly, I'm surprised that the Braves have been kind of sort of hanging around in this NL East race without him. But you know, it seems like the Mets don't have much interest in trying to put this division away just yet.
Yeah, no doubt. And really, I would actually even give some credit to Alex Anthopoulos in adding Jock Peterson. You know, he's a 2020 World Series champ with the Dodgers, has the experience. He's, you know, not at all a Ronald Acuna Jr., but at least somebody with that bat, with that experience and an ability to maybe spark some of this offense. How great of an addition do you think Jock was to this lineup?
Oh, it was absolutely great, especially if, you know, things work out. There's a mutual option if he's happy and he wants to, you know, do one more year to, before he tries to get a bigger contract. You know, that, there's an option that's available to both him and the team to try to make things continue. And they gave up a first-base prospect in Bryce Ball, who I like, but he hasn't had a good year. It seems like, you know, you would expect more from an older college bat that you got out of the draft to be progressing faster than he did, but he was struggling in high A. So you get a guy like Jock Peterson, who's a real big-time bat. He wasn't that far removed from an all-star appearance and, you know, putting on a show in the home run derby as opposed to, you know, giving up a guy that, frankly, didn't seem like he was going to – it didn't seem very likely that he was going to be a part of your future in Atlanta. So overall, I mean, it was a great pickup. The price was great. Mm-hmm. You get immediate production out of him right away. Just a fantastic move to make, especially on short notice, like the way they've had to.
And when you couple that with the pickup of Steven Vogt, I always say his name wrong, catcher from the Diamondbacks, is this kind of a good sign that the Braves are saying, hey, we know that this is bad. We know that Acuna being gone hurts us, but we're not throwing in the towel yet.
I'm a little bit ambivalent on the Vogt trade just because I think that they have a really good backup catcher down in Gwinnett and Alex Jackson, or they could, you know, try to give Contreras a try as well because they're both hitting really well down there in Gwinnett. So I'm not exactly sure what the purpose of that trade was, if I'm just being blunt about it, other than just, you know, they brought up Jonathan Lucroy for a couple games and they realized they didn't want to do that either. So I just feel like that they might have had some better internal options, but the price, again, for a major league catcher who has experience and isn't, you know, is a real player, you know, they gave up a guy who's a 25-year-old rookie ball. So it's not a price that you are upset about. And it frees up a spot in the minor leagues, which is a big deal, frankly, because, you know, with the draft coming up and you have really constrained minor league roster spots right now, you eliminate a guy from one of the lower minor league roster spots, and it gives you guys, some of your draftees, a chance to go ahead and see time in full season ball. So, I mean, overall, it was a fine trade. Just one I'm not sure if I understood the necessity for.
Talking Braves with Eric Cole of Talking Chop here on ESPN Upstate. So adding the offense is nice. Getting some depth at some position is also nice. But, you know, some of the pitching issues need to be addressed. So the Braves do rank fifth in quality starts, but everything else statistically is basically middle of the road, 4.24 team ERA and all of the above with the pitching issues. So how much work does Alex Anthopoulos have ahead of him as we quickly approach this trade deadline to fix this pitching staff and get them to the point where they can make a run at the Mets this year?
It depends a lot on how long they think Ian Anderson is going to be out. And that's kind of a tricky sort of evaluation to make right now. The rotation, honestly, to me, this hasn't been the problem. It's been the bullpen. And that's, you know, around the trade deadline, that's the bulk of the moves that we see around this period of time, is teams going to teams that are out of it and, you know, basically, you know, salvaging them for bullpen pieces. And the Braves have done a good job historically in going into the trade deadline and picking up bullpen pieces that are helpful for them. And that's where they need to be focusing because, I mean, I don't know if you've been watching games, but it seems like the guys that they should be bringing in, and when they bring them in, they haven't been good. And then the guys who they really shouldn't have to rely on, and frankly, it's terrifying that they do, haven't been performing well either. So it just seems like every night, you know, two guys just have really bad bullpen outings. And frankly, that kind of explains why that they've been kind of on the skid they've been lately. It's just that the offense is what they're supposed to do. The starters do what they're supposed to do for the most part. And then the bullpen comes in and just like that, they lose 7-6.
Well, like you said, over the last couple of years, there's been some really big moves, bullpen help acquisitions at the deadline to really make this team work down the stretch. Should the Braves fans around here in the upstate have faith that that's something that can happen again? Are there guys out there that the Braves can go get to help kind of solidify this bullpen and make it better going forward?
Well, there's certainly guys that are available. You know, the popular name, considering it's the Braves connection, is Craig Kimbrell. The Cubs are very much, you know, they managed to lose basically most of their games in an entire month, and they've just, you know, they've fallen out of it. And that's certainly a team that they might target again. But ultimately, the team is going to tell Alex Anthopoulos whether or not he needs to make those moves or not. You don't want to make a move for three bullpen pieces and then finish five games under 500.
Yeah.
Then you sold off some real assets for your future. And then you didn't do it for anything in particular other than maybe like drafting a couple spots lower in the first round. So, you know, ultimately the team that they have right now, they need to force the issue with Anthopoulos and saying, hey, we're still in this thing, but you need to start winning some series and you need to start winning some baseball games to do that. And if they don't do that, then it might not make a whole lot of sense to trade real real assets to, you know, bolster that bullpen when, you know, frankly, this season's kind of getting away from them.
Eric Cole of Talking Chop, with us here on ESPN Upstate. Like you said, they are still in it, 45-47 so far, but only 4.5 games behind the first place Mets in the East. And the Mets obviously having a plethora of issues of their own with injuries, on-field implosions, manager implosions, and the rest. Do you believe that the Braves, even without Acuna, can overcome this 4.5 game deficit in the second half, mainly just because the Mets don't seem to be able to run away with it at all?
They have a chance, but I wouldn't call it a particularly great chance. I mean, it's worth noting, like, there's still the Phillies, there's still the Nationals that exist in this division. I'm not so worried about the Marlins necessarily, but, I mean, these are teams that are, like, basically around the same quality of the Braves, and they don't have the injury problems that the Braves have.
Yeah.
So it's a question of, you know, being able to keep pace with those teams and catch up with the Mets, and that's going to be a tall order. I mean, I put their odds of, you know, winning this division right now at about 10%. And that's not nothing. And they frankly should be lower than that based on how well they've played, but they've hung around. And, you know, again, the Mets just seem to find ways, both self-inflicted and, you know, beyond their control, to, you know, not be able to put this division away. But at the end of the day, they're up, you know, 4 or 5 games right now, and they have had all these issues. And it's not like the Braves are doing anything right now that says, hey, we're about to go on a run.
Would you think the smarter move would to be, you know, to go after it, or to be, you know, kind of sellers coming forward in this next couple of weeks and start rebuilding for once Acuna's back and the team is healthy next year?
If they lose a whole bunch of games, then, like, the guys are on 1 year contracts, so you probably have to start thinking about, you know, selling at the deadline, just because, again, you want to get those assets. And if you're 9 games out at the trade deadline, then what are you trying to do? What is an eighth inning guy going to do for your chances for a playoff race? But at the same time, they should keep their options open for sure and see if they make a run or not. Maybe they can kind of, you know, sneak in thanks to, you know, other teams really backing up more than anything. I think what the play is ultimately is to just, you know, keep your ears open. Mm-hmm. If there are some, like, trades of, like, guys who aren't super critical to your success, but teams maybe want them, maybe you get a minor lottery ticket prospect or two. And if there are guys that are available at the trade deadline that have multiple years of team control, that's going to be the big one. Like, if they, like, hey, this guy, it's not just trading for this guy for this year. Maybe he can help us out in 2022, 2023, when we get everyone healthy. And if you can make a trade for a guy like that, that makes all the sense in the world, regardless of where you are in the standings right now.
He is Eric Cole, deputy manager of SB Nation's Talking Chop, covering all things Atlanta Braves. You can find all of his work over at talkingchop.com. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Anytime.
It's great stuff there from Eric. I mean, such just in-depth knowledge of the Atlanta Braves. And I do get where he's coming from on that 10%, but I feel a little better. I do still feel a little better. And it's not because I think the Braves are that good. I don't think that they can compete with the teams atop the Central, the teams atop the West. But I definitely think they can be better than every single team in that NL East. Every one of them. The Mets have been playing with house money the last couple of months. They're falling apart. DeGrom's hurt again. They're having some of the most atrocious on-field implosions that you could see in baseball because, let's be honest, it's the Mets, guys. That's what the Mets do. That's what they do every year, and we saw it the other night. One of the worst teams in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates, overcome a 7-0 deficit and win on a walk-off grand slam against a reliever who was one of the highest paid, highest touted guys the Mets have signed in recent history. So I really still think that end all be all, with everything being what it is right now, without Ronald Acuna, the Braves still win the National League East in 2021. And I think if they do, that's one of the greatest signs Braves fans could have of what this team is actually capable of. Because every time I come on this station or any other station I've been on, anytime I tweet about the Atlanta Braves and I have faith in their success and what they can pull off, I get nothing but negativity. Like, I get it. After all those years of success, there was a lot of years of really, really frustrating baseball in Atlanta. But what they've been able to do the last 3-4 years, the fact that they were able to win this division and get into the playoffs before anybody expected them to, and then last year, yes, shortened season, weird thing happened, but they get to that NLCS. I think that this team is capable of winning championships. I think that they have the core they need, and it's just going to take more magic from Alex Anthopoulos. We've seen it the last couple of years. I don't doubt we'll see it again in the next couple of weeks. This trade deadline is his forte. This is what he's the best at. He is killing it in trade deadline moves for the right pieces. Nothing splashy, nothing huge, but the right guys to make this team a winner. And being 4.5 games back right now of the Mets, with how bad this team has been the first half, I've got the faith. Braves fans might not, but I've got the faith. But that's all I'll do for baseball. I just had to sneak one segment in, Lonzo. I know everything's football right now. SEC Media Days, ACC what? Media Days. Had to sneak in one segment of baseball. The Braves are important to this market. Everybody loves the Braves. Even me from New England. It happens. But we're going to go into something you like, Lonzo, a little bit. Wrestling. You're a well-versed study student
of
the world of wrestling, right?
Diddy, you know wrestling's fake.
We'll talk about that part as well. But it has its own language, as you know. And a lot of people out there that know as well. And you saw it on our daily poll, one of our four polls. Pop is a very important word in the world of wrestling. So my question is, what sport and what event in each sport has the biggest pop? We're going to discuss and debate that and more next on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Don't forget to tune in for the ACC football kickoff super shows brought to you by Ingles, proud supporter of college sports. That's all live on ESPN Upstate tomorrow from 12 to 7 and Thursday from 12 to 3. Rob Brown, Mark Ryan, and everybody going to be giving you everything you need, ACC football and Clemson. Also, you can join the show today. You want to be a part of the conversation, give us a call, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also text us at 71307. Just make sure to start that message with ESPN so we know that you're talking to us. Lonzo, you're a wrestling guy. I am too, a little bit. My friend has started to get me into the wrestling again with the new league, the AEW.
So you're one of those that, oh, you got to be over here. You got to watch this one. They're cool.
I'm not one of those.
Okay. I was going to say.
It's just that he got me to watch it. And for the first time in
so
a long
cool,
time,
man.
I was like, yeah, this is kind of entertaining.
They actually cuss on the thing
well,
and stuff. And
yeah,
that's what it is. I think it's an appeal to a certain audience for that. But
that's fair.
By the way, I like them both.
So. Yeah.
But yes, you're right. I am a wrestling fan.
But I was big growing up. I loved all of it. I went to shows all the time with my dad, some of the coolest shows ever. I was at the Monday Nitro the night after Scott Steiner turned and joined NWO in Sacramento. That was epic. I saw The Rock and The Undertaker win the tag titles here in Greenville. I was at that one. I saw some really cool stuff, and I was really into it. But the best part of it all, right, is the pop. The pop is something that just really can't be described when you're in person. It's amazing on TV. You hear the speakers buzz when you hear it on TV as well. But to be in an arena and hear the pop when a guy like Stone Cold's music hits or The Rock's music hits, or again, as I referenced earlier in the show, Sunday night, John Cena coming back to the WWE. That pop is something that just is next level and makes it so amazing. Crowd reaction is what makes live spectator sport awesome. You know, that's what was so bad about last year and so frustrating to watch games last year is that dead silence. And you just, you know, you hear the feet squeaking in basketball or you hear them yelling at each other in soccer or whatever else you're watching without fans. The fan reaction, the fan excitement and enthusiasm is what really makes why we love sports, why we love sports. It brings you into it. It gets you excited about it. So to pivot off of the wrestling pop, I had the question when I saw the Twitter feeds going nuts about John Cena the other night of what is the biggest pop in sports. And I'm not going to fight that pro wrestling is not sport. It's more athleticism than I will ever have and ever had in my life. And it hurts like heck, I'm sure, every time you get slammed down. I don't care if it's scripted. It doesn't mean it's not hard on your body and it's not athletic and it's not a sport. It's a sport. It is what it is. But we're going to exclude it from this because we know how big the pops in pro wrestling are. The pop that Stone Cold had still might be the greatest of all time. I saw some big ones with The Rock too, but that Stone Cold one, when that glass broke, oh man, that place went bonkers. So in sports, beyond pro wrestling, what is the biggest pop? On our poll today on Twitter, which you can get at ESPN Upstate on your Twitter app, it asked that question, and it has four options on it, but you can write in an option, and you can call in and tell us, 844-477-3776, and you can answer this question as well. I put as the four options a home run, obviously baseball, a goal in hockey or soccer, both have a very erupting kind of pop when it happens, a touchdown, or an alley-oop. There are other things that can be on this list. A strikeout in baseball in a big situation is a massive pop from the crowd if it's the home team getting that strikeout. A buzzer beater in the NBA at the last second of a big game, huge pop. An interception that doesn't even go for a touchdown, big pop. A sack, big pop.
All right, to me, pop needs to be explained a little bit more.
Okay.
Because if you look at it from pure crowd size, the football is going to win every time because the crowds are bigger. I think it's part of it is sound. Part of it is if you panned around the crowd, they're on their feet. They're screaming.
Yeah.
They're going nuts. Because I think it would be easy to exclude certain sports, like maybe the alley-oop because the crowd is smaller. But I think
I would exclude,
see, when I think pop, first of all, the first thing I think is sound. So, but in that certain arena, is it so deafening no matter what the size of, you know, there could be 10 people in there, but it's so crazy. You're like, you can't believe that 10 people sound like 1,000.
Yeah. Some of the biggest pops I ever heard in professional sports attendance were in Arco Arena in Sacramento back in the late 90s, early 2000s when they had that really good team. Some big three pointers drop. That's a small arena. I think that was only like 15,000 at Arco before they built the new place out there. So that's not definitely not going to come into play, in my opinion. I don't think size of crowd should matter. And obviously a touchdown at a college football game in front of 100,000 people is probably going to hit a higher decibel level. But I think it's what you said, the pandemonium of the fans, people with their hands on their head in just disbelievement of what they just saw.
All right, I'm gonna go with football because one of the biggest pops that I ever witnessed, my wife and I on our anniversary, I forget which one it was. We've been married 28 years, so you kind of forget which one it was. But it was, I think it was like 10 years ago. It was when Steve Smith played for the Carolina Panthers. We were in one of the end zones, kind of high up, and we saw Steve Smith catch it. It was kickoff. And then you just start to see lanes opening up for him.
Yeah.
And there was this well in the crowd, a crescendo, a wave just starting up. Yep. And then right when he was like 20 yards from it, the place just went completely nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I get goosebumps thinking about it, talking about it, because it was such an amazing thing to witness. And, you know, being higher up, you can hear the sound going from the bottom up to where you are, even though it's an open air stadium. That was an amazing, amazing pop. So I got to go with football, at least for me.
See, I guess that adds another wrinkle to it because it's the reason why I don't want to go with home run. That kind of thing as well, I feel like it's a slow build and not necessarily a pop. You know, and I get that because I've definitely had experiences like that at Williams-Brice Stadium. I think there was a Coach Simpson punt return against Georgia when I was early in my college career, my Tommy Boy-esque college career. And it was one of the most just electrifying 5 minutes I've ever been a part of. He ran it back. And then I think there was some other reason we downed them inside the five. And that place was just rocking. But again, when he caught the ball, there was a little bit of buzz. And then as he ran and cut and cut and burned a couple people, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. So is that necessarily a pop? Because when the pop happens in wrestling, as you know, it's that second you hear that theme song and know who that is. You heard that one note from John Cena's entrance music on Sunday night. Bam. You hear the glass break. Stone Cold. Bam. So is it those things? Because home run's the same way as what we're talking about with football here. The home run, he hits the crap out of the ball. And some of them are so big, you're like, yep. But some of it, you're like, oh, hoping it's actually going to go out. And sometimes it's warning track power. So it's not really a big explosion until you know it's over the fence.
So what you're saying is a buildup isn't a pop.
Kind of. Or is it? That could be an argument you make, though. That it still is, because you're still getting that end result, right? Once it hits the end zone, it goes over the goal line.
And by the way, the pop isn't just boom and it's gone.
It lasts a little bit. Yes.
So, and with the buildup, like in the case of what I'm talking about, it lasted a little while, all the way through the replay. Because they're showing the replay and people are still going crazy.
Yeah, like the kick six, I think they're still cheering down in Auburn for that one. So like that, but that was a slow build because you're like, oh my goodness, is this actually happening? And then bam, the big explosion from the crowd. I am going to go with a goal in either soccer or hockey. It works both ways. I would say hockey, I think, would be a little even more of a pop because of, I almost feel like the arena plays in a beneficial way towards it because of that enclosed surrounding. You get that bigger reverberation of the explosion from the crowd when that goal hits. But it's because there's so much anxiety before a goal in both of those sports. You see the ball getting close or the puck getting close, and it's almost. So once it actually scores, pop. That's the pop. So I'm going to vote for the goal in either hockey or soccer. But again, I'm a hockey and soccer fan. A lot of people aren't. So it could be other things. A sack, I feel like, has more of a pop than most touchdowns. Unless it's a insane throw deep into the end zone, caught, you know, like Dez Bryant style over somebody's head touchdown, which is a huge pop in its own. So you guys tell us. Text us. 71, I'm looking at the wrong number here. 71307 on the text line. We did get Hurricane Jeff says, how about the final pitch of a no-hitter or perfect game in baseball? I think that's a good pop too, but those are harder to come by when in the front of the home crowd. If it is a home crowd one, that's a huge pop. The thing I think that diminishes that pop is that everyone's already up clapping and cheering on that final out of a game in baseball. No matter what, if it's a perfect game, no hitter, or just a regular win, everybody's already cheering before that final strike. So I do like that, though. Great, great addition there from Hurricane Jeff. But we will move on. We're going to talk about something that happens tonight, Game 6 of the NBA Finals, which I'm pretty sure you can hear right here on ESPN Upstate tonight. So make sure you tune into that if you're not near a TV. Milwaukee Bucks, one win away from clinching their second NBA championship in franchise history. But will they? Lonzo and I are going to satisfy that basketball Jones next on ESPN Upstate. Give us a call. Get involved with the show. 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. You can text us at 71307. Start that message with ESPN so we know you're talking to us. Got another text during the break. Says texter says, Stone Cold Glass Break is up there, which we know that, but that's disqualified from this question for today. But he did give me soccer goal is also at the top, and I completely agree with that. Especially when I was in the Citrus Bowl with 62,500 people for the Orlando City Soccer inaugural match, and Kaká scores on a PK, not a PK, but a free kick from just outside the box in stoppage time to tie it at 1-1. The explosion from that 62,500 people, wow.
Does that count, though? Because I think you have to compare it to what the pop is like internationally. I mean,
well, that's fair.
Overseas, it's something totally different.
That's fair, which is why the soccer goal as a whole is kind of there.
Yeah, and again, I would say the soccer pop here is like a whisper over there.
Oh, maybe. I don't think that's across the board, though. I think you're underestimating the fandom of soccer. That U.S. game the other night had a great crowd out there in Kansas City. Some markets do really well, Atlanta being one, not far from us. Charlotte, I think, will do well soon. Orlando, obviously, my beloved team, and has a great supporter section. That the pop there when a goal is scored, awesome. Just so awesome to be a part of. So, and again, like I said last segment, I think that the soccer and hockey goal have that extra pop because of how anxious you are anticipating that goal and how rare those goals usually are in those two sports. So we'll get to that a little bit more as we go on throughout the show. We'll get your answers on that as well and continue to share them from both Twitter and the text line. But we have a big game tonight. Big, big sporting event this evening. Game 6 of the NBA Finals. You can hear it right here on ESPN Upstate. Milwaukee Bucks looking to win their second NBA title in franchise history, first in 50 years. The Suns need to overcome some things, need to get it back together, play how they played in Game 1 and Game 2, and get it done tonight so that they can force this Game 7 and see if they can pull it off, get Chris Paul his first NBA championship. I mean, there's so much going on in this series, and the best thing about this series so far to me, Lonzo, is the fact that everybody tried to poo-poo on it before it ever started. These teams don't belong here. This was the easiest path to the finals anyone's ever had. Everybody had to be negative, 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 which blew my mind because on a yearly basis, it seems that everybody hates seeing the same teams in there. We finally get two new teams, and then everybody hated it anyway. But now you've been handed one of the most entertaining series we've seen in quite some time, and we're sitting on the cusp of either a first in 50 years championship tonight or maybe a first ever championship in a few nights in a Game 7 for the Suns. That's awesome.
Not to mention, either way, whoever wins the whole thing, I mean, these are guys who haven't won it before.
No. So, yeah, these players have no rings, most of them. I think there might be a few that have been on rosters that I can't remember offhand. But that's awesome. I think that's awesome. I'm one who supports, you know, praises and enjoys greatness and even dominating greatness.
Hey, don't make excuses for injuries. Injuries are part of the game, because I can make a ton of excuses for Kansas City last year.
Exactly.
Having both tackles out. How would that have been differently? But it's part of the game.
Yep. You can go through history and find, oh, if this didn't happen, this wouldn't happen. That's because that did happen. And then this did happen. So that's just how it happens. We're going to keep talking NBA Finals. We're going to check back in with Rob Brown at Clemson Media Day, talk a little Carolina Panthers with Elena Getzenberg, all that and more coming up in the second hour of the Diddy Takeover, and that's all next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.